Thirsty.
Thirsty.
Thirsty. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Therapists with Tea podcast, a creative arts therapy approach where we will be discussing systemic and individual practices in mental health care to provide an anti-oppressive psychoeducation for our listeners. I'm your host, Kirsten, a registered dance movement therapist practicing in Oregon. I'm joined by my co-host, Emily, who works as a registered dance movement therapist in the states of New Jersey and New York. Today, our topic will be
Vulnerability.
Good day to you, Emily.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hello, listeners. How's it been?
Yeah. You know, you got to listen to the bod and the mind. And when the bod and the mind tell you that you need to slow down.
I like that sound effect. Do it again. It's good. Okay. It's so good. Okay.
A quick little ASMR, a little. Yours was fast.
Mine was fast. Too fast?
Yeah, yours was like a car. It was lightning. The queen just went by. Yeah. Ka-chow. Did you see that? That was lightning.
That was Lightning McQueen. Oh my gosh.
Today's topic, vulnerability.
Vulnerability. Ooh. Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. I know we kind of discussed this one a while ago. But recently I sent you a little something about vulnerability on the Instagram, on your DMs.
The grams? You slid into the DMs?
I did. I always do.
Kirsten, tell me more about this post that you slid into my DMs.
It was talking about like an emotions expert and calling out like vulnerability, which I thought was kind of interesting because I think a lot of the time, we want to know the answers. We want to know exactly what to expect, how to handle things, what the protocol is, what the steps are. And when we ask questions, sometimes it's like countered with like, you need to be vulnerable to accept the unexpected. Mm. And I want to delve into how you feel about that.
I think if I remember the video correctly, it was talking about vulnerability stemming from insecurity.
Mm.
Does that sound?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And thinking about like how vulnerability and insecurity kind of can coexist. Mm. But what we were talking about and what my takeaway from at least the video was, for me, they can coexist, but maybe not always.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's more to vulnerability and the idea of being seen and being heard than insecurity. I think for this specific case, it was referencing like a classroom setting,
mm-hmm.
right? And the teacher said, you know, the expert, right? The expert of emotions. Man, what a title, first off.
Oh, I want to put emotions expert on my resume. That's so, so delightful. I don't know why it like stuck with me. I was like, imagine being an expert.
But how is one ever an expert in emotions? I feel like, because maybe you can be an expert in your emotions and things that come up kind of consistently throughout humanity, but there's always going to be an outlier and there's always going to be like things that just don't align for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I love that. I don't know either. And I think to create this, like, I'm an emotions expert makes it sound like I'm an emotions expert for everybody. And I constantly am surprised by how emotions show up and how they are described per individual, that I'm like, I don't think I could put it on my resume, even if I wanted to. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's such an interesting title, but, you know, I couldn't necessarily say I understand every emotion and where it stems from and X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Without knowing the person.
Yeah. Yeah. And I constantly feel like sometimes I ask questions and I say, I'm noticing this. And I am contradicted at times where it's like, oh no, I'm actually feeling. And I think I see you kind of doing this little like swaying back and forth and stuff. Emily's getting into it.
It's a quick little shimmy sway. It kind of goes down the spine, like side to side, almost like in a sneaky motion, but like starting from like the lumbar.
Ooh.
And goes into like the sacrum, these parts of the back.
Yeah. I'm wondering what's coming up for you though. Like, are you an emotions expert, Emily?
I am for certain not an emotions expert.
Do you want to be?
Wow. I think the title expert, right, is like diving into like years of experience, right? Isn't that sort of how it's codified, as like years of experience and years time? It's codified by time and like how long and how much you have been invested in like a certain area.
I would say so. Yeah.
If we're looking at it strictly from that perspective, I think folks codify themselves as experts, or like, you know, like they put titles to things after years or time invested in educating and time invested in like, you know, kinesthetic learning and listening and, you know, seeing and so on and so forth. But for me, I don't know that I would want to label that specifically, because I feel like, again, like what we just aforementioned, like it's, how do you become an expert in something without being in somebody else's shoes? I don't know. This is a great question.
Emotions connoisseur, or I don't know. I'm an emotion questioner.
Yeah, I like that. I like questioner, because it's like we can, like that kind of feels like a therapist to me. It's like this idea of like staying curious and holding space and being present with somebody, but you're not the expert in their experience. They are.
Yeah.
So how do you like qualify yourself as an expert in somebody else's experience? I don't know. That's what comes up for me.
Mm-hmm. They're the expert.
Yeah.
You are the expert of your experience. And I think going into the vulnerability as the therapist, man. And I'm also questioning now in my mind, what am I an expert in? What can I quantify? Am I an expert in snacks?
Not the snacks.
The snacks. I am an expert in like cloud watching, I don't know, observing.
Listening to music.
I like that.
But back to this idea of vulnerability, right? I had a thought that was coming up for me as we were kind of referencing this Instagram post that we both, you know, witnessed. I feel like vulnerability, something that's important to note about vulnerability is it can also be weaponized. It can be used to sort of perpetuate like willful ignorance, or like weaponized incompetence, right? And these kinds of things. And I think, you know, vulnerability, I feel like I say things like this a lot, like is a gift, but I feel like vulnerability is truly a gift. When someone is opening and when they are being vulnerable, maybe it's chosen or maybe it's not chosen, but it feels like a gift. It is an offering in a way that, you know, gives insight or gives more information about the individual and about their experience to then perhaps offer you how to be an expert in supporting that person, or how to better support that person, or more specifically get to, you know, a way to assist their needs. What do you think about that element?
Yeah, I think vulnerability is a gift. And I think a lot of these terms are being reframed quite a bit. Sensitivity, you know, those things that were kind of weaponized, like you said before, are now being seen as strengths, as like positives. Like, I remember feeling like my sensitivity as a kid was seen as like a flaw, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think even now we still have kind of this binary, like there are good and bad emotions when they're really just emotions. They're there to give us information. I have consistently kind of been reframing those ideas, even for myself, you know?
Yeah, I think that still exists within even the therapy world, is this idea of like binaries, like you can go about it this way or go about it this way. And it's like, I feel like it's more of like an open non-binary spectrum of response. Like there isn't a good or a bad way. I like to work in a harm reduction framework, like talking about like there are many ways that this could happen or we could go through this cycle or this pattern, and what is going to ultimately cause the least amount of harm, you know, in your state of vulnerability. Like how can we cause the least amount of harm or lesser harm over time to then ultimately, you know, then come to a space that feels like, oh, this pattern feels safe enough that I could do this or sit in this for a little bit and, you know, see where that takes me. Like, it doesn't have to be this, like, you know, good or bad. I feel like you and I feel similarly in this.
I think so. Yeah. I think for the most part, we do. And I think, you know, we always have the best intention is kind of what I'm getting from what you're saying, is like we go into it wanting to make sure to facilitate the best space, the safest space, the space where you can feel brave enough to be vulnerable, to offer that gift if you want. You know, it's not an expectation, but it's an offering. And I'm curious, you know, I'm still figuring out how I'm going to allow myself to be vulnerable and authentic in my work as a newer therapist. How are you feeling about that?
I think there inherently is so much vulnerability in being a new therapist, because there is a world of, you know, possibility in what could go wrong, right? What could go wrong? What could cause harm? What, you know? And I think that that is something that new therapists, you know, limited permit holders and folks just starting out or folks under supervision experience. And that's why we have supervision. That's why we are continuously advised. Even once, you know, limited permit, you know, is completed, your amount of, you know, hours and whatnot, continuing to re-educate and, you know, get clinical hours and, you know, continue to go back into supervision, you know, taking up your own form of therapy as well, like, you know, your own modality of therapy, I think is, you know, necessary for folks on our field.
Yeah.
So being a new therapist, it feels vulnerable, you know, because of this wide and vast, like, possibility of, quote unquote, something to go wrong or to cause harm, or, you know, the multitude of ways that could, again, cause harm, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, I think, brings me full circle back to that Instagram post that we were talking about, because it was a classroom setting. A student asked a question regarding what steps do I take if this happens? And the teacher, this emotions expert, combated, you have a fear of vulnerability. And I think sometimes that can be harmful for students to feel like, I'm asking a question because I want to facilitate that safe, brave space. And the answer I'm getting is combative. Like, you're now turning it on to me, this like almost gaslighting to say like, this is a you problem, you know? And I think that was almost weaponizing the vulnerability aspect, which is partially why I sent it to you, because I feel like, you know,
when we ask questions, it's to give us information and to hear you can't offer whatever is going to happen, and that means you have a fear of vulnerability, is sometimes harmful, I guess, in my mind, because it's then placing it like almost a blame onto the student.
I have a question to throw back at you too from this, not throwback of you, but to like kind of like offer you with
At me.
This is not softball, Kirsten.
Just a game of catch. That's all this is.
I'm going to just, you know, those big like yoga balls. I'm just going to like slowly roll it over to you across the country.
I have one under my desk. I'm ready.
Just roll it under.
I have received the yoga ball.
My question is, and I don't, again, there could be a spectrum of answers and feelings and thoughts about this. And this could also be rhetorical, but do we ever exist in a vacuum of causing no harm in a classroom setting, in a therapy session, in the world, navigating as humans, just kind of existing on a floating rock? Like, do we ever exist in that, like, space of, like, and is there, this is, you know, another, again, feeling vulnerable in even asking this, but like, is there information in those moments of high tension or discomfort, right? Like, for me, I think too, there is that piece of, we can sit with discomfort and we can sit with uncertainty. And there's a difference between discomfort and pain too. So there might be a lot of information in discomfort, or like even a moment of like just this prolonged like uncertainty. And like, even though this student may, I don't know full context, the student may have been gaslit, the student may have, you know, experienced pain or harm, I don't know, I'm not the student. But then also thinking about, like, was there information in that moment? And I think we'd have to check back in and, like, talk to that person and talk to, you know, that professor and kind of, like live with that, live with them, too.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about all of that big yoga ball roll?
Big yoga ball of questions. Honestly, I think a majority of people try to go through life without causing harm. I think we do our best to live in a space of care and love. And at the same time, we only know what we know, which I say pretty regularly, which, as a kid, I can think of times where I inadvertently said something that hurt somebody.
Oh, same.
Yeah, not meaning to, not by any means meaning to, but then taking accountability for it, you know, when I learned more. And there's probably so much that I still have to learn. So I think we can do our best to not cause harm, to not hurt others, but it also comes with needing to expand and learn other perspectives and maybe not, you know, qualifying myself as an expert in anything, you know, ever, except maybe snacks. I do like my snacks. But, you know, I think we try. I think a majority of people try really hard to not hurt others. And when I see that come up in sessions, I try to like point it out. Like, that is such an empathetic, sympathetic, like caring, loving, you know, response that you have. So I think I just have this kind of romanticized, like hopeless romantic idea of humanity trying really hard not to cause harm to others. But I don't think it's necessarily possible to always do the right thing, make the right choices, say the right thing. Mm. And that's, you know, inadvertently potentially hurting others. And
yeah,
hearing them out and understanding their perspective, I think is so vital. And I can't tell you the amount of times where I've tried to open a door to like maybe have a conversation and felt like it was shut in response, you know, like they didn't want to hear my side, which is fine. You don't have to, you know. I'm a big fan of closure, though. I'm a big fan of like, you know, let's get to at least a place of common ground. Or, and that's where my discomfort lies sometimes, is like not always having that, the balance. Yes. Emily's giving me the little like Libra scales over here.
And I think the reason why this is coming up is because it's like, I'm seeing these two like scales, like quote unquote, as like roads, like this might be you down here on this road here, and you're kind of moving across the screen this way. And this person up here is also moving across the screen the opposite direction on top. Like they're up, you're down, or vice versa, whatever, but two totally different roads that don't cross. Mm-hmm. Like what could be your truth and your closure is causing more harm for that person. And,
exactly.
And vice versa. So like, can I find closure in a way that doesn't necessarily look like conventional closure too? And that's part of like the healing process too.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think, you know, sometimes there is that. And then sometimes there's this lovely crossroads too, where you get to meet at a different point in your life where both of the individuals are able to say, oh, okay, I'm willing to hear you out now. You know?
Yeah. Oh,
Timing is essential.
Yeah. But time isn't the only ingredient, I think, that is useful in those crossroads. I think there's a lot of things that need to also or could be useful in those crossroads. Because, you know, you could have all the time in the world and then come back and be like, okay, no, we still feel exactly the same. Okay, great. Bye.
You know what? Actually.
Actually, you are harmful for me in my life. Okay, bye.
Well, and I've had those moments too, you know, in other relationships or other mm-hmm. things where I'm like, oh, wait, you know, I tried to open a door. They tried to open a door. You know, this happened, that happened. And there have been times where others have reached out to me and it's been so healing to hear their side. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I offer it as well sometimes yeah. for others, because it's like, wait, you had this perception and maybe it would be nice to have the full story. And I think I also just love like books that jump back and forth between different characters. And it's like, wait, this same situation was seen in such a different light by this character. And wait a second, intersectionalities, like different things give us different perceptions of what we think are the exact same situation.
Yeah. Oh, Kirsten, seeing life as a novel and we are all just characters in this big book of fun and life and horribleness and interaction. We're all just Sims.
We are. The little like green, and then it's like, I'm hungry, I'm tired.
Burp, 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 burp,
burp, burp, burp, burp. I don't know why I went like full Mario, I think.
I was getting Blue's Clues from
Were that, you?
So. Yeah, I got like blue, like you know.
Yeah, I feel that.
Time.
Oh, the amount of times I've sang that song, getting the mail, is embarrassing. Aww. Can't help it.
She's an expert on mail. She's an expert on puppy cuddles. She's an expert on snacks.
Oh my gosh.
Emily is the expert on music making and technology and advertising. She Whoa. Is our media expert.
Whoa.
Whoa. Holy cow.
Hold on. I wouldn't go that far.
Listeners, what are you an expert in? I need to know. Like, I need to know
what your professional title is.
What are your credentials? Like, what do they look like? Is it like professional puppy cuddler, like a PPC?
Ooh.
Right?
Is that an acronym already? Are we gonna
Yes. Are we gonna expert trouble? Expert on snacks, an ES.
Ooh, yes.
Oh man.
Yeah. I do think there's so many things that can be said about vulnerability, titles, experts, you know, like newness to the field. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So vast. And, you know, as much as I would like to quantify myself and put expert anywhere on my resume, I don't know if I'll ever get there. Mm.
I think there is so much vulnerability in newness and in transitions and shifts. There's a lot that can be missed or like take its time. And I think a really integral piece of vulnerability is, again, going at that slowest pace of your nervous system to allow it to take its organic time to manifest. Mm-hmm. Whether that be like, you know, sharing something like really quickly, really heavy, really fast, you know, this is where I'm at today, or taking, you know, days, weeks, months, years, etc., to come to conclusions and thoughts. And I think that is a way to like support vulnerability and see it for what it is, see it transparently and meet it where it's at, you know, in a relationship, in a, you know, conflict, in a new meeting, or
yeah
new therapist.
And I love that newness that you're talking about, like in a transitional period, allowing the vulnerability to exist without judgment. And I think that's why that Instagram post, I was like, so like, it just like hit that spot for me where I was like, why was this seen as a judgment? Like, you have a problem with it, like this, you know, you have an issue with allowing vulnerability, you know,
and it's even shifted the verbiage on it too. Instead of you have an issue or you have a problem, we just said like, why don't you examine your relationship to insecurity and see what comes up for you? And then Ooh. And then again, you know, it would take like a therapeutic processing to then dive into that and see how that is manifesting in life and as a therapist and supervision to then, you know, re-examine that as well. Which is why supervision is super necessary and super essential for not only you, but for also the folks that you are serving. But yeah, I think we can really like, you know, we don't have to always soften things, but I think that specifically, especially in an educational setting, can be useful depending on how the person learns and how the person experiences that comment and, it, you know, how that, you know, comment is embodied for them too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think just in that, in changing and reframing, which I think is the other part I was getting at earlier, is like, there's not good and bad feelings. They're just feelings, just emotions, and what you do with them, you know, that's vital, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that kind of how you reframed it to like, let's examine how you feel about just allowing things to exist, you know?
how do we feel when we're vulnerable, instead of you are struggling with that was what got to me. And I think you and I, at least in our conversations, have been able to be more vulnerable and like talk about things in such an authentic way, and with the work, how we've been authentic and vulnerable thus far, which I think has been valuable, at least for me. And so now it's nice to also share it on this platform, and like, you know, vulnerability can be such an asset.
Yeah, there can be so much growth, even in the more societally negative emotions. There can be so much clarity in vulnerability, in anger and frustration, in, you know, sadness, and sitting with that emotion. And there is so much information, as you stated before, in even the more societally negative emotions. They are empowering, and I feel should be seen as that way, even though sometimes in our society it's kind of the opposite. Just listen to the Barbie movie, you guys.
Just have it in the background. Just listen to it.
I can hold both logic and reasoning and my emotions at the same time. It actually empowers me.
I always appreciate you being vulnerable with me every week.
Uno reverse. I feel we both kind of allow ourselves to authentically show up on these mornings and, you know, see what is present for us.
And thank you, listeners, for showing up. I always feel like a radio host. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, all those folks out there, for sharing in our day, sharing in our morning and our conversation.
Beautiful. I love that. The voice you just clicked on.
Thank you so much.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
And that's the tea.
That's the tea.
Our table is open with a seat for you. If you are a therapist that would like to join us as a guest on our podcast, please feel free to look at our Instagram page to find the Google form in the bio. We are also calling out to artists that would like to promote some of their work through our platform. Please feel free to slide into our DMs. If you are experiencing mental health challenges, please seek support. Our podcast episodes do not substitute for individual therapy. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you next week.